As we get started this morning, I learned something kind of interesting this week. You know how in the bird migrations, when you see these birds flying in these V formations, and how usually one side of the formation is longer than the other, do you know why that is? There's more birds on that side. Well, this is going to be a rough morning, guys. It's going to be a rough morning. As we get started, some of you each week, you'll notice, are using either a smartphone or a tablet to follow along in service. If you have a smartphone or a tablet, we encourage you to bring it and to use it as a part of your Sunday morning service. If you go to your app store, whatever it is, and you go to YouVersion, Y-O-U-V-E-R-S-I-O-N, version, you'll find that on that, you go to live events, put in our zip code, and you'll find Hillcrest there. And it has all the verses and everything that we use on Sunday morning to follow along with. There's even a place to electronically sign the welcome card. You can even give online through that. But it's a great way to stay connected. You can make notes in there. So we have about a dozen or so people that are using it. I've got a few questions about it. This is, we've been talking about it. But we encourage you, feel free to use that as a tool to help you connect in what we're teaching on Sunday mornings. Well, let's start with this. Have you ever had to prepare something before or prepare for something, like a job interview or a performance that you've done or some, you know, maybe you've got a hobby that you work really hard on and you prepare for doing better and better at whatever it might be? Preparation is hard work. It's not an easy thing to do. To become exceptional at something or to get to the place where you're proficient at something, it's very, very difficult to do. Preparation is a very important part of our life and our journey. Just this last week, we saw a whole bunch of ladies and their preparation. It was the Miss USA pageant. I don't know if you caught that. Wasn't on my viewing list either. But these gals prepare for years, if not their whole life, for this moment of being in the Miss USA pageant with the hopes of being Miss USA. The place where you can really determine how well they have prepared is, you know, not in the swimsuit section, but in the Q&A section, the interview time. Because they get interviewed, they get asked questions, and then they just kind of respond to those questions. I was fascinated this week when I discovered how Miss Utah responded to the question, what do you think about the equality of men and women in the workplace? I don't know how you might answer this question, but this is how Miss Utah answered it.
I think we can relate this back to education and how we are continuing to try to strive to figure out how to create jobs right now. That is the biggest problem, and I think especially the men are seen as the leaders of this, and so we need to try to figure out how to create education better so that we can solve this problem.
Yes, we need to create education better to help solve this problem. Well, obviously she had not prepared quite, I think, the way that she had hoped that she would. If you look up preparation in the dictionary, it will say to make ready beforehand for some purpose, use, or activity. To make ready beforehand, that's very important, for some purpose, use, or activity. Now, we're going to make a connection of preparation to our faith journey. Is there anything in your faith journey that needs preparation or something that you need to be working on or working towards? I want to start with this maybe challenging or strengthening a theological perspective that you may have this morning. When you think of God's creation, all of the people that God has created, is each person created with a special and unique purpose? Or are some people created without a unique or special purpose and they're just kind of like taking up space? Are people created with a unique and special purpose, unique and special to them? And is everybody included in having a unique and special purpose? Or do some not have a unique special purpose. They're just here, like I say, taking up space. Your theological perspective on that issue will greatly impact your faith journey. I'm here to tell you today that the scriptures teach that every single person who's created is created with a unique and special purpose, unique to them, like a fingerprint is unique to an individual. And that includes you. That you have a purpose for why you were created. You're not just random. You're not just another person in a group. You're not a number. You are unique, special person. Everyone is created with this special purpose. God determined ahead of time, before you were created, how many days you would be alive. He decided ahead of time what year you would be born. He decided ahead of time what family you would be born into, what kind of culture you would be born into. All of these are a part of his master plan for you specifically. Nobody has your unique set of experiences. No one has your unique set of circumstances. In Psalm 139:16, it says this: "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." Every moment was laid out before a single day passed. God knows you. You are unique. You are special. And he created you with purpose. He has a plan for you. Do you believe that God has a plan for you? Jeremiah 29:11. God says this: "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." If God has a plan for you, then the plan that he has for you, as he says, is a good plan. Our goal is to acknowledge that there is a plan for our life, to prepare for that plan, and ultimately live out that plan. That's what life on earth is about. That's why we are here together. Now, when we focus on Jesus, I think it's a no-brainer. It seems pretty obvious that God had a plan for Jesus, right? I mean, that's an obvious kind of a thing. But do you realize that it took 33 years before the plan for Jesus' ministry came to fruition? The first 33 years were a time of preparation in some ways, but also Jesus' own discovery of his ministry, that God did have a plan for him. It's not like when Jesus was 5 years old, he was casting out demons and healing the sick, right? It was a process of development with Jesus and his understanding of who he was. But he knew very clearly what his call was. It took time before his ministry began, 33 years. But he first had to identify that he had a ministry to perform. The scriptures don't say a tremendous amount about this, but it does give us some insight. Here's a couple of things that we know about Jesus. We know that Jesus knew that he was special and unique because of his mother Mary, his father Joseph, his aunt and uncle Elizabeth, and Zechariah. The angels proclaimed his birth. Prophecies were said and fulfilled in Jesus. His aunt and uncle had a boy named John who would have been his cousin. And John's whole purpose, God said, was to prepare the way for Jesus because Jesus was the Messiah. So this is happening even before the birth. So Jesus grows up very early on hearing what his purpose is and coming to a fuller understanding of that. Now Jesus took his purpose very seriously. We get a glimpse into this when Jesus was 12 years old and he's in the temple. And he's in the temple teaching and learning about who God is. And he took it very, very seriously. The years from birth to 33 were not wasted years for Jesus. But they were lived out in response to the ministry that he was being called to. I want to ask you today, have you identified your ministry? If you're called for a unique and special purpose, what is that purpose? What is the thing, the ministry that God has for you? This is a very important step in the life of a Christ follower. It took me to age 25 to even come close to beginning to understand what God had in store for me. Now, the first 25 years weren't all wasted. Believe me, I wasted a few of them. But they weren't all wasted years. A lot of things in my life were pointing me in that direction, whether I wanted to see it or not. And there were times I ignored the signs. But there came a time when I started to figure out, and I guess in some ways I'm still learning and trying to figure out what my full ministry is. If you want to know what your ministry is, maybe you're asking the question today, you know, Pastor Doug, I don't know what my ministry is. I don't know what my special, unique calling is. I can pretty much guarantee it's going to have something to do with a passion that you currently have, a skill set that you have, something that you're uniquely gifted to do. And God wants to use that thing, whatever it is, to make the world a better place. What might it be? Sometimes it's a big overarching kind of event, a big overarching thing that impacts your entire life, like going on in a mission field, you know, and your entire life is changed as you live in Zimbabwe or wherever it might be. Sometimes it's, you know, a big thing like moving into ministry as a profession. But other times it adapts over time. It's in the smaller details. And it's seasonal, I think. The ministries that God has for us in our life can be a little bit seasonal too. It could be that your ministry right now is to your family. That God has called you in ministry to your family right now. And then eventually that can change or morph to a mother helping other mothers or helping teens in some way that are struggling. Your calling right now may be to mentor some teen in your neighborhood or to start a Bible study at your work. Your ministry could be helping others with whatever this skill set is that you have and making the world a better place. Hillcrest is filled with people that God has called to a specific ministry. Every single one of you. And this morning, as I was praying about this message, I was just asking God, in what ways are people uniquely gifted here at Hillcrest? I mean, names just started flying into my head. And so I just jotted down a few. When I got to 25, I stopped writing. I won't list all of them. But these are people that I have seen use their skill sets in a way that has impacted the kingdom in a great way. One would be Mark Letha. You guys know that guy? That guy used his hands to do anything for the kingdom of God. He showed me a photograph today of some 12-foot-tall gumball machine he just made. His creativity. If you know Jackie McNamara, she's an incredible encourager. Deanna Mosier, she brings people together. She has a gift of hospitality. My wife, believe it or not, my wife has a gift, it sounds kind of strange, of being a friend. And she's really good at it. I should know. Another guy, Dennis DeBoer. If you don't know who Dennis is, he's the guy that mows a lawn around here, and he's always out there on that little mowing tractor going around. He's willing to lend a hand for anything. He's always helping out around here. Art Goosey. Art can fix anything. I can imagine something Art can't fix. This week, our air conditioner went out in the offices, and it was hot and humid, and when my office climbed up to about 76, 77 degrees, we were on the phone with Art, and he showed up and worked on the air conditioner and did this thing and that thing, came in my office, told me all the stuff he worked on. I didn't understand a bit of it, but the AC unit came back on. He's here when we needed him, always able to be a helping hand. If you know Ruth Fuchs, one of our seniors, if you've never sat under Ruth's Bible teaching, you're missing out. She can really teach the scriptures well. One of our children workers came to my mind, Christy Bauer. Christy Bauer loves kids, and she just has a servant's heart. I couldn't find her in first service because she was serving. I could go on and on. But if you know any of the people that I've just mentioned, you know what I'm talking about. People that are called to a ministry and just live out that ministry, and it's just passionate within them. And God has called you to a ministry, and have you discovered what it is yet? Because it's unique and special to you, and you alone. Once you come to the place of identifying your ministry, you then need to do the hard work of preparing for your ministry. This isn't something that is always something you have to figure out how to prepare for. God uses life to prepare you for the ministries that he has for you. In fact, sometimes if you want to know what the ministry is God has for you, look where the challenges come in your life. Because the challenges are preparing you to be stronger for this other thing. And it could be that through the challenges, you'll be able to identify more clearly what your ministry is. But God uses a refining process to help us prepare for the ministry that he has in store for us. The refining process is also unique as your calling is unique. It's unique to you. It's tailor-made for you. And it's there to help us endure the trials and difficulties of the ministry to come. Jesus had a refining process of his ministry. At 33 years old, he entered into 40 days of fasting and 40 days of prayer to prepare for the ministry that God had for him. As Jesus fasted and prayed, he experienced temptations from the devil. And the temptation period would prove if he was ready for the ministry that he was about to embark upon. The testing that Jesus went through was centered on his obedience. And we can't take the testing that Jesus went through and apply that directly to our lives as if that testing is for us. Jesus' testing was unique to him because the testing was in three different areas. And those three different areas were the three areas that Israel had failed in. And the test was to see if Jesus could be obedient in the areas where Israel had failed. If Jesus was going to be the hope for God's people, he had to pass the tests that Israel had already failed. And so the tests came. Israel was tested with hunger. The purpose of the test was that they would learn to depend on God alone, but they failed that test. They failed to depend on God alone. But when Jesus was tested with hunger, he responded to the devil's temptation of turning rocks into bread by quoting scripture. In Luke 4:4, but Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone. He explained that we live on the word of God. That's what feeds us. Israel was commanded to worship God alone, but they, of course, turned to idolatry again and again and again. And Jesus rejected the devil's offer of kingdoms of the world in exchange for his worship by quoting scripture again. Jesus replied, the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. He didn't fall into the temptation of idolatry. Israel doubted God's power many times and put God to the test. In fact, he put God to the test at Massah, the place where Moses hit the rock and the water gushed out. And the scriptures are very clear that the people tested God there and that it wasn't a good thing. And Satan tempted Jesus and said, throw yourself off the temple and let the angels catch you. Let God save you and prove his power. Jesus responded again with the scriptures. He said, the scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. Three temptations and three times Jesus passed the test, proving that he was ready to begin his ministry. And his ministry began immediately after the desert experience. How is it that you're preparing for your ministry? The period of testing that will be very difficult for you, but necessary for you to do before you'll be able to fulfill your calling in your ministry. Is God calling you to be a nurse? Well, you're going to have to go to nursing school, right, Amy? Maybe God's calling you to mission work of some sort. Well, then you'll have to do training with a mission organization for preparation. Maybe God's calling you to Christian leadership in some way, then you'll need to do discipleship training, or maybe he's calling you to pastoral ministry. If so, you're looking forward to 3 years of seminary. But sometimes the training isn't formal. In fact, I'd say most of the time, the training is very informal. It takes on the face of trials and difficulties that shape you and ready you for ministry. It could be that you're going through trials of forgiveness for a ministry that God has for you. It's a trial of mounting obstacles that God is bringing on your path for you down the line. But any way that these trials come and this preparation and testing come, you have to stand strong underneath it and pass the test. When I responded to the call of ministry into my life, I went to seminary for 3 years, and I honestly thought that the 3 years of seminary would be my preparation for ministry. Little did I discover is that seminary had very little to do with preparing me for ministry, and the thing that was going to prepare me for ministry was ministry itself. And it was through the trials and the struggles of ministry that I discovered what unity is in a body. I discovered the way change happens and can flow within a congregation. I learned a lot more lessons through the ministry and through trying to love and serve other people than I ever did in a classroom setting. Ministry had its own trials to test my resolve, and I gained experience through that. Once you've identified you have a ministry and you've started your preparation for that ministry, it's then time to live out that ministry. Jesus lived out his ministry over the next 3 years, and over these next weeks, we're going to be talking about how he lived out the ministry of him coming to save us and to show us how to live in relationship with God. And so I ask you this morning, have you started your ministry? Have you begun your ministry? The one thing that you are wired to do, the reason why God created you in the first place, the reason why you have breath, the reason why your heart beats. He created you for a uniqueness. Are you living it out right now? You see, I believe that for the church as a whole, it's time to move away from standing on the sidelines and getting into the game. It's time to move from just watching and get to where we're playing the game. It's time to fulfill the calling that God has for you and even for me. Some of you this morning know exactly what I'm talking about because it's very loud in your ears right now. Could be something that God has been probing you with for a period of time. And this message has just intensified that ringing in your ears of knowing what it is that God's asking you to do. Maybe you've been afraid to take the steps of faith that you need to take to do it. Maybe you're just hoping that this message gets over quickly so that you can kind of go back to the numb place of not hearing it so loudly. But I would say probably for most of us here today, you just don't know where to start. You believe that God has created everyone for a purpose. You're not so sure it's you. But if you believe the scriptures, you have to say, okay, I guess I am created for a purpose. You just don't know what it is. And you don't know how to prepare for it, and you don't know how to begin it. If that's you, I'm going to encourage you to do what I did. When I started asking these questions about God's calling in my life and whether I had a ministry or not, I did the one thing that I was advised to do, and I'll give you the exact same advice. Start serving in church. Start finding different ways to plug in. I remember when I first started out, they'd have these announcements in church that they needed some help with this or that, and I would just start signing up with random stuff. And some of the stuff I signed up for was really stupid. They weren't things that really were great for me, and I learned that along the way. But I also learned some other things about myself when I started serving. I can remember one time that we had this guy that was coming to our church, and we were at a larger church at that time, and he was a magician. But in church, you can't say that he's a magician. You have to say he's an illusionist, because there's no magic. So he was an illusionist. I learned that during that time, because I kept calling him a magician, and everyone kept correcting me. He's an illusionist. I'm like, what's the difference? But apparently there's a big spiritual difference, and it's very important, and you need to know that difference. So this illusionist, I signed up to be a part of this process or this bringing this illusionist here. And so what they did is they had a big meeting with everybody that signed up, and they kind of took skill sets that you had and things that you were good at and things that you wanted to do, and they gave everybody a job. They had a whole list of job duties. And for me, I filled out, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. I handed it in. You know what they told me my job was? It was a bouncer. Seriously, that was my job. I stood at the corner of the stage in a suit like this. The whole time. I wasn't allowed to watch the show. I had to watch the audience for the rare chance that someone might jump up from their seat and rush the platform. And I was told, if that happens, just take them out. So I served Jesus waiting to tackle someone. Not my forte, I guess. But all of a sudden, one guy came up to me and said, have you ever tried out student ministries? Specifically junior high kids. I said, well, the biggest problem is I don't like junior high kids. I think it's because they don't like me, but I don't think I like them. And he said, I just want you to show up. That was the beginning of the end for me. That's where Jesus got my heart. That's where I fell in love with ministry. It's what propelled me into the steps of the future. In fact, the man who did that, his name was Steve Schmidt. And he's at a church out in California right now, and I just wrote him a letter. Because his church is looking to promote him to a new spot. And he wanted to get some letters from some people as recommendations. Apparently, I'm one of 48 people of his ministry that served with him that's gone on to full-time ministry. One of 48. 47 other people, he said, hey, try out student ministries. And they're off serving somewhere in full-time ministry. It's not about full-time ministry. It's about discovering what your ministry is and someone giving you that invitation to explore it. And I promise you that if you start to serve, if you just find a place to serve and connect, you're going to start to discover what your call is in life. Find a place to plug in. Here at Hillcrest, you can be a part of the adoption team. We need people to be a part of adoption team that will work with families that are looking to adopt. And there's a lot of work that goes into that. And we need people that are passionate about adoption. We need people to help out on a worship team. We'd love to expand some of the instrumentation. We'd love to have some saxophones and trumpets. And God, I'd love to have an oboe. Can we do oboes? Or to help with our nursery. We have an incredible nursery of loving people that love on these kids. Some of you have kids in the nursery right now, and it's because of those loving adults that are caring for those children that allow you to be here to learn more about your faith journey. Or could you give some time to do that so that others can come and to learn? And maybe be a part of the food team. Maybe you like to bake or cook. We have groups that go and bring meals to families who have had babies recently or bring meals to people who have just gotten out of surgery in the hospital. Or be a part of our children's ministry. I asked Tarina first service, she was sitting over here, and I said, Tarina, do you have any openings in children's ministry? And she handed up a list, and she was laughing because she had just put a list together of volunteer opportunities. Lots of them. It could be a sound or a video tech. Look at these guys back. Look at the fun they're having back there. You really need the help. Maybe it's graphic arts, and you've got a passion for doing graphic artwork. Maybe it's clerical work. I promise you, we could use so much help in the clerical side of things. If you have a few hours to donate here or there. Or to be a greeter or an usher. To do some teaching here at Hillcrest. Or to be a small group leader. Maybe you've got a passion for drama. We'd love to develop a drama team to do some dramas on Sunday morning. We just need people to stand up and say, I'd like to do some drama. We'll organize it. Or to help out with men's ministry or women's ministry events. Or maybe mentoring. We've got individuals that are looking for mentors and need someone that would be willing to do that. Maybe to be a part of the finance team. Maybe you've got a gift of crunching numbers, and when it's all said and done, there's more money left at the end of the month than what you need. We'd love to have you around here. Or maybe be a part of the HR team, loving and supporting the staff and finding ways to bless the staff. Or be a part of the evangelism team. Sherry, you got any openings on your team? You got spots. To reach out to our community, people that have ideas and passions about how we can reach others, or just to be a helping hand to say, what can I do to help? Maybe be a part of the coffee ministry. Anybody enjoy their coffee here this morning? There are two people that did that this morning, and if those two people don't show up, there's no coffee. Actually, there would be, because Pastor Brian would do it. He loves his coffee. Maybe go on a missions trip. What might God reveal to you is God revealed to Maddie. You never know. Or maybe you need to serve with junior hires. Yeah, they're weird. But they're weird in such a cool way. This is just a small sampling of just some of the options here at Hillcrest. And I have to believe that there's passions that you have that we aren't doing around here. And the reason we're not doing them is because you haven't stepped forward, and we're missing out because of that. Are the Vandervoorts here today? Good, I can talk about them. Don is a, I said it wrong first service. Hairdresser? Stylist. She's an illusionist. She's a hairstylist, and she gives her time. I mean, that's what she does. You know, she does hair, and so you think, how does God use that? You know, what she does is she goes over to Cleveland and she cuts hair for under-resourced kids over there once a month or however often. But it's a way that she said, I've got this thing I can do, and how can I do my thing for God? How can I do my thing in the church? I'm gifted, I'm skilled, I'm good at my work, but I'm not using it in the church. And how would the church benefit from you with the things that you are skilled and passionate about? Your spiritual journey needs you to be involved. And we want to help you in any way we can. So here's the application. I've got a sheet of paper here that says exploring my calling. And what you'll do is you'll come up like others have done and put your name on the list. And this is your way of saying, I want to be off the sidelines. I want to get into the game. I have no clue what to do. Clueless. I just know that I need to start doing something. I'm not going to just come and sit here on Sunday mornings and listen to a message. I'm going to be a part of what's happening here at Hillcrest. And you put your name on this list, put your email and phone number on here, and we will contact you, and it will be scary. Because we're going to call you, and we're going to ask you, what's God up to in you? What are some of your passions? What are things that you think about? How can we create opportunity for you here? How can we get you plugged in? We'll personally contact you and work through these things. And if you have an idea, or maybe you have a skill set that you're not sure how to use, or maybe you've got this idea of something that you want to do, like you want to like do a hot air balloon ministry here at Hillcrest, that'd be cool, wouldn't it? I'd volunteer. Yeah, you'd have the pastor on your team. It'd be great. Then you put in here hot air balloons, okay, under the idea. Maybe you don't know how your idea would fit. I just cut hair, but I have no idea how to use that. So you put your name, email and phone number, and idea. And if you're not serving here at Hillcrest, it's my expectation your name goes on this list. It's time to stop sitting on the sidelines It's time to get involved. And if the line is too long up front here, it got kind of long first service, that we've got one at the Welcome Center in the back as well. But if you put your name on here, we're going to contact you. It is going to be scary. And you're going to have to take a risk. And you'll be a bouncer at some event, or we'll put you with the junior hires for the Whopper Cram event. That's where somebody's hands go through. It's not your hands. And then there's a whopper, and the person behind stuffs it in the face of this person. And you get like three of those going, and whoever eats it first. We had to ban that here at Hillcrest because we almost killed a kid. We had to do the Heimlich. Kid had half a whopper in his throat. But it was impressive. We'd love to help make your passion a part of your calling. So sign up. Deal? All right. I'm going to pray. After the prayer, we're going to take an offering. As the offering plates come by, you can come up here. It's a great way to get out of the offering, too. Just come on up here. Not that you're looking to get out of the offering. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. It is obvious to us that you are calling each of us to a ministry. And I pray that you will help us discover that ministry, prepare for it, and start living it out. I especially pray for those that are unsure today, that you would encourage them to open up and explore how you desire them to get plugged in. May we not be a church where 20% of the people do 80% of the work, but that we each have our place of service, and through that we are better able to serve our community. And we thank you for the example that you have set, and help us to follow in your steps. And we thank you for the offering that we're about to take. And it's our prayer that you will use these funds to show your love and your grace to others. We would be good stewards of these funds, that you would multiply them, that we'll be able to love others, love our community, reach out with the love of God to others. We thank you for the opportunity to give. Lord, help our people to be courageous today, to be willing to say, I'm scared, but I'm willing to take a risk and jump off the sidelines and get into the game. Because what a blessing there is when you start to play. As you've called each one of us in a very special and unique way, and you have a special ministry for us and us alone. May we not miss it, and in turn, may the church be blessed by it. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, sometimes I find myself wondering where I fit in the grand scheme of things. It's like, I want to be used by God, but I'm not sure how. I don't know where to serve. I'm not a brilliant doctor or an eloquent speaker. I'm not really a teacher or someone who... Oh, no, sorry, not me. I don't do Sunday school. No, kids don't like me. I don't know why. Where was I? Oh, right, where could I serve? I'm not a missionary. Now, see, now that's a purpose. That's something I could be excited about. You know, I think we all feel like this sometimes, but the fact of the matter is that all around us there are people in need and places that we can serve. It's easy to miss those simple and beautiful ways that we could be used by God. Oh, no, I don't do hospital visits. No, sorry. I've got a weak stomach. Yikes. Oh, you don't want me praying for you. I can't string two sentences together. No, that's not my calling. No, sorry. Calling. You know, we use that word calling a lot. What's my calling in life? Oh. Yuck, I'm not cleaning the bathroom. Oh, what's my calling? I'm a professional athlete. I mean, not yet, but I will be.
Again, encourage you to come up, sign up on the list. Nobody's come up yet. When I dismiss, I hope to see some of you come on up. Again, there's one in the back of the Welcome Center as well. God bless you. Thank you for coming today. You are dismissed.